Welcome to the Hidden Potential Podcast. I'm your host, Omer Hargrove. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about problematic people pleasing as we discuss the problems that arise when we lean into the simple aspect of people pleasing. We're going to share some examples of what that looks like and the problems that come from it. And then we're going to talk about how to gracefully avoid and even shut down people pleasing within our leadership and our organization. At the end, I'm going to give you three takeaways to be able to help you directly apply what we talk about today in your own leadership. And every week, we come out with a new episode to be able to help you tap into your hidden potential. We do that by using practical and mental tools to be able to help you in your leadership and organization. Let's get started with a big thought, and that is, as leaders, it's inevitable that we will run into situations in which people want to change how we do certain things. This is different from receiving constructive criticism, okay? We're talking about people-pleasing, not constructive criticism. And it's typically rooted in people's preferences rather than the desire to see you or the organization grow. It's also usually followed by some type of ultimatum by the person, but that they threaten either leaving the organization or something happening in a negative way if their suggestions aren't adhered to. So again, much different from constructive criticism, someone giving advice or trying to help, be helpful. We're talking about this idea of people pleasing. And we're gonna really hit on three major things. The first one is how people pleasing is rooted in fear and insecurity. I'll be the first one to say that there's plenty of times where I desire to feel validated as a leader, but when we understand that, when we search for that, especially with people, we'll go down a route to where we will be inclined to please people even when we don't necessarily agree with them. And it's usually because we have that sense of insecurity in our leadership or our abilities. And because you're afraid of the aftermath of what may happen if this person does leave or if they do something, it makes fear being the motivation. As a baseline, you should strive to not make leadership decisions or even judgments about yourself when it's rooted in fear. But while there might be some initial blowback from a person leaving, if they do stay, you will in turn be working for them as you start to walk on eggshells, hoping that you're doing a good job in their eyes. And on top of that, just consider how you will be letting this single individual dictate the culture of your organization. You'll inevitably become their puppet in a sense as they begin to direct the values and the mission of the organization, which will most likely push those who came to your culture out of the way. So again, understand that the inclination to people please is rooted in insecurity. It's rooted in fear. And look, I get it. There's been plenty of times where I've had that fear. If this person leaves, I don't know what's going to happen. Even like when it comes to like major donors that have left in the past, and I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And every time I try to let fear navigate me, it tries to almost make up a logical plan of direction or explanation to do something that I feel like is against my integrity or against my mission. But when I take a breath and pray and put my faith in God instead, I remind myself, these people are not the source of any provision, any help, anything. They were only vessels for the time being that God sent to assist this mission. And God will send more vessels to fulfill X, Y, or Z in this mission. And it's a lot easier said than done, okay? It's a lot easier to say God will provide another way, another avenue when you're looking at the bank account, you're looking at receivables. But trust me, there's been many times, and our church is a tight budget. We're a smaller church. And there's been many times where one person that's a main donor could leave or have a difference in opinion or values to where it's a major shift in our receivables. It's a major shift in our month-to-month operations to where it could be very stressful. Like, how am I going to pay these bills? How am I going to pay this person, that person? And time again, God has shown himself faithful to where almost has one person left. Some other people came to where our finance has actually increased instead of decreased, while that person was in a sense replaced by multiple others. So again, throw out the fear, throw out the insecurity, throw out the need to feel validated, and rest in your faith in God, rest in the mission that He's called you to. And that leads us into our next point, which is following that path of people pleasing is insatiable, as it inevitably alienates others in the process. What I mean by that is you have to consider the reality that your organization is not for everybody. And if you try to please one person, there's going to be two others that are offended by it. You should be trying to, instead of please everybody, you need to be trying to reach a specific audience or group of people. Again, I know that it sounds counterintuitive, because especially like I'm talking about from a church perspective as a ministry, your thought is probably, well, I want to reach everybody. Our church is for everybody. All are welcome, all walks of life. And don't get me wrong, churches should be inclusive. All should be welcome. But every church should have a unique set of people that they're trying to reach. You know, Paul was specifically trying to reach Gentiles. Peter was specifically trying to reach the Jews. You know, they're going after specific demographics, and they would even change how they talked and behaved in order to reach those certain people. And if you're trying to reach everybody, then you will fall into this trap of people-pleasing as you start to have more than one person feel offended at your method or how you do or say certain things, and they're going to want to change it to fit their preferences. And in the process, other people are going to want you to shift back this way or that way, and you're going to feel so strained and stressed out as you feel like you're not pleasing anybody. And it's very stressful to lead like that. Again, settle back onto this idea that you're supposed to reach a specific type of people. For our church, as an example, we best reach people who are not raised in church, who are not churched out people. In fact, we're a great church for people who are in recovery, we have found out. We reach people who have been hurt by church, and it's really caused us to fit into a very untraditional mold. Like, I'm a pastor who has an eyebrow ring. To some, that seems like very audacious of me, while to the people of our church, like, oh, that's cool. You know, it's a completely different dynamic in a different culture in how I talk and how I communicate compared to traditional church people. Traditional church people do not like how we do service. We're not doing anything unbiblical. We're not doing anything sinful. We're preaching the gospel of Christ. But when it comes to culture and how we do certain things, the methods of our message, that's really what causes people to either like it or hate it. And once you start to funnel that for yourself, you know, you'll be able to see that one person may love it while another hates it. And you just simply have to establish what you believe in. It has to come from your heart. You have to be genuine and authentic about it. And you have to understand why, what it is that you believe in and why you believe it. Because you will have to explain it over and over. And you can, once you know why, you'll be able to feel confident in what you're doing even more. You won't feel aimless. You won't feel like you're second guessing yourself. You won't desire the validation of others anymore. And on top of all that, you'll be able to establish who it is that you're reaching or trying to reach. As a simple example, again, the way that I do ministry is very unique in comparison to the traditional sense. It was like, there's plenty of times where even recently, there's a specific message I shared at our church, and I got a message later that night from somebody saying how they were deeply offended by something I had said in the message. Not that I didn't like cuss or anything, but they didn't like how I said a certain thing. And they went on to pretty much say that they were leaving the church. And in that same night, I had, my wife got a text from somebody else saying how they loved the message. That was one of their favorite messages that they've heard from our church, and that was just what they needed to hear. And I was totally encouraging to them, and they were just hyping me up in this message that they sent to my wife about how much they loved it. So again, one person loved it, one person hated it. But guess what? Guess who I was thinking about all next week? About their opinion of my message. The person that I was deep down wanted to people please. And again, you got to check yourself, guard that out. If I were to cater everything to this one person that didn't like it, not only would I not feel happy as I feel like I'm trying to please one individual, as I feel like I'm trying to walk on eggshells to please them and afraid and anxious if, oh, did I say this the right way? Did I do this the right way? On top of all that, I would be missing out on the great and amazing experience this person got to describe that loved the message just the way it was. So again, establish who it is that you're trying to reach. Stop trying to reach everybody. Try to reach somebody. And finally, the last thing is being confident and humble when you address these opportunities of people pleasing. One, when a situation is brought up to you, the first thing that you should do is consider the gravity and possibility of it being edifying. Don't just throw out everybody's opinion and like, oh no, I'm not gonna people please. I only obey God, not man. Don't be like that. I'm not saying to be all crazy. I'm saying to clearly consider, be honest with yourself, be honest about the person, and consider the gravity of what they're saying, and is this constructive or is it just their preference? Is this genuinely helpful? Is there anything that I can take out of this moment that can help me grow? It's even if it ends up being that they're just wanting you to please them, if it is just a people pleasing moment, that you could always eat the meat and spit out the bones. There's something in there for you to grow from. And even for me, almost every major people-pleasing moment to where someone like vehemently left our church because I did not cater something to their preference, every single time, it was a monumental moment in my leadership that I grew from. Like, they were milestones for me as I considered the gravity of the situation, and it helped me to even know stronger and more confidently why I believe what we believe as a church and as a ministry. And so again, consider what they're saying. Look for edifying moments. As an example for me, there's a time where two people ended up saying that they were leaving our church. I'm making it seem like we have all these people leaving our church. It just happens. It's very common for all churches. But they're one where they were leaving because of a moving situation, a family situation, and they gave constructive feedback that was helpful for me, and I grew a lot from it. They just said, I just want to leave. I really care about this church, and there's certain things that I think that would really, the church could really benefit from if you guys start doing this or that. And at first glance, it could have been taken as like, well, we're doing our best. I could have got defensive and blah, blah, blah. But instead of that, I considered the gravity, and I thought, there's a lot for me to learn from here. And we were able to have dialogue about it, and it was very constructive, and I have a great relationship with that person still. Another person left the church for difference in opinions, and there was no room for reconciliation. I even opened the last thing I sent to them was, are you willing to talk about this at all? Are you willing to discuss any of these things? And never got a reply back. And so again, you can kind of discern which one is people-pleasing, which one is constructive. Hey listeners, today I'm reaching out for your support to keep our journey of innovative Christian leadership alive. Every week that we dive into these territories of faith-based leadership, it's made possible because of the contributions made by people who believe in this mission. Whether you want to help us by becoming a monthly supporter or by submitting a one-time donation, you help fuel our discussions on authentic and practical leadership. Your generosity allows us to help other leaders just like yourself harness their creativity for the greater good of our communities and beyond. To support us, please visit homerhargrove.com and look for the support section. It's quick, it's easy, and every bit of it helps us make a greater impact for Christian leadership. Thank you for being a part of our mission. Now, let's get back to today's episode. Once you consider the gravity and the appropriateness of what it is you're dealing with and being humble and considering what you can grow from it. The next thing you do is when it's something that's just straight up people pleasing and they're trying to change the culture to fit for them, or they're trying to change the mission or the method, whatever it is, to cater to their opinions or preferences, you can gently appreciate their feedback and simply repeat your values and your mission back to them as the reason why you do the things that you do. There's been so many times where people had shared a negative opinion about something, about a method in which we do things. And I'll share back, well, you know, for our mission to bring people from death to life, we reach people that are unchurched. And part of the reason why we do X, Y, or Z is because it's our mission to build a community of believers who can be transparent with their lives with one another as they find their purposes in God together. And it's like repeating the mission, repeating the purpose, even repeating the values. The reason that we do this is because we really believe that love is an action and a choice. And so even though it may seem unfruitful in the eyes of others to do this or that, we do it because we believe love is an action and a choice. And so again, repeating your mission, repeating the reason as to why you do what you do, as you're really just explaining, this is why we do it. We're trying to reach this. We're trying to do that. And tell them that you're sorry that they feel that this way or that way, and that you're always open to talk about these things. And just project a heart of reconciliation always being an option. And there may be times where it's not an option for them. There's been times where I've had to tell people that I've had to simply tell people, well, it seems like your values and your ideas about leadership, it has changed where they're different than that of our church. And I think that would be best for you and best for us that you find another church to go to. And having to have real conversations like that, it is necessary at times, to where I never started a church thinking that I'd have to be asking people to leave. But when that people pleasing is trying to change your culture to the point where it's dividing your culture, you have to address it. You can't just sweep it under the rug. And the more confident that you become in what you're doing, the better that you'll get at this, and not letting every person that has a problem with you get you down. You know, the first several times that this would happen to me, man, it would take me out for like a month, and sometimes even longer, to where I felt so discouraged. I felt like I wasn't good enough, and that all these self-defeating thoughts, insecurities. But when you realize that this is just people, like no matter what you do, people are going to have a problem with it. And as you go about these different things, it will help you to be more confident as a leader, and it'll help you to know to continue to funnel your efforts and energies to who you're actually trying to reach. So again, with all that being said, let me give you some takeaway to consider. Number one, do an internal inventory and acknowledge areas in which you feel insecure or desire validation from others about, so that you can overcome people pleasing before it happens. You know, maybe you haven't had one of those moments before. Get your confidence built up now, so that when it does happen, you won't fall victim to this people-pleasing routine. Get your confidence, know why you do what you do, know why you believe what you believe, know who you are trying to reach. Number two, establish your audience by clearly defining what type of people you reach best. Even if you can write it down, make it abundantly clear. You know, it's like the idea for our Sunday service. I've had to consider, who are we trying to reach in the Sunday service? And I've established we have specific evangelistic outreaches. Our Sunday service is to be catered to Christians. And that's the space where we want to build people's faith. No matter how small or big their faith is, our Sunday service is geared towards Christians. And so we now cater our service to be catered to Christians, where we started leaving Bibles for people to read and follow along, while before, I would just leave it on the screen because I didn't want people to feel uncomfortable or feel weird about opening the Bible. And at the end of the day, I was like, well, I'm trying to reach Christians here. And it makes so much more sense. It makes what you do so much clearer when you establish who you're trying to reach with the different things that you're doing. And finally, number three, practice a pitch of your values and missions to be ready to share as a reasoning behind your methods. It's almost like this idea of having a pitch ready and prepared, knowing that you will be having to explain yourself. And even if it's as simple as like knowing why you're a Christian, my simple answer is always, I'm a Christian because I believe that Jesus really rose from the dead. It's like very simple, but it explains my faith clear, straight up. You need to have similar ideas of why you do different things for your church. I hope that what we talked about today was edifying and helpful for your leadership. Could you do me a favor? Could you leave me a rating and review for this podcast? It really helped me out, help others be able to see this show in their feed. Until next time, have a great life.